Amen. Man, what great worship today. Amen. I love celebrating who God is. I love celebrating what God has done. I also enjoy celebrating these seniors that have graduated and what God is not only doing in their life, but what He's going to do. So, man, what an opportunity to be able to celebrate what God is doing there. And today we've got an opportunity. We've got a guest speaker today, and it's a friend of mine. His name is Ken Gagan. He's going to be coming and bringing the word today. But Ken is one of the ministries that we partner with, called Africa. Come on, brother. And so Ken heads up a ministry that goes into the heart of Africa and ministers to the different countries there. He loves to present the gospel. He loves to see people saved. He loves to see people discipled and see leaders trained. That's one of the great things he does. And so I want to pray for him, and he's going to bring the message today. And it is a challenge for every one of us. So just have an open heart today to what God wants to say. Father, I thank you for Ken. I pray for your blessings on him. I thank you for his ministry. I thank you for the passion that you have given him. And Lord, I pray that you would use him today to speak to our hearts. God, thank you for what you do through him there in the Lord Father, just on the continent of Africa. Lord Father, in the different countries that you continue to open doors into those countries. God, you continue to give us favor in different ways. God, and thank you for the blessings. Thank you for our church investing in their ministry. And God, thank you for what you have in store for us today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Bless you, brother. Amen. Hallelujah. If you have your Bibles, would you turn to Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah chapter 6, as we consider investment of your lifetime. What a beautiful example that we've seen today, the way you invest in the youngsters of the next generation and the leaders of the next generation, as we see these graduates being honored today. And we do honor you, and we pray for you. And obviously, this church values you very much. But I'm also a recipient of this church's investment. And I didn't get it in the first service, but I'll see if I can get to it now. Can you put that map up there of Zimbabwe? You see this? You put that circle up right there where I was with Pastor Mike, and the border of Botswana and Zimbabwe, right there out from Bulawayo. There you go, right there. In 2009, your pastor joined me. Before, they had been with me to Uganda. Lori and Mike had been with me, plus a few from Journey Church had been there a few times before to Uganda after Pastor Mike and Lori went with us in 07. Then in 2009, Mike came specifically to help us with a church plant here at the border of Botswana. Now, during this time, Zimbabwe was going through a crisis. Their economy fell in 2008. Literally, imagine whatever money you have in the bank. If you woke up tomorrow, whatever money you've got is now worth nothing. That's what happened is they basically kept printing money. Does that sound familiar? We're printing more money and don't have gold to back it up like we used to have. But anyway, during 2008, their economy failed. But as your pastor was there with me, we were training leaders. We were passing out the first Kalunga Bibles. The Bibles, if you imagine, that we have so many Bibles sitting around our houses. We just take advantage. Just think that it's just a common thing to have a copy of Scripture in your own language. But I got to tell you, that day that we passed out those Kalunga Bibles and to watch those 40 leaders see a copy of Scripture in their own language, I want to tell you something. It was a life-changing moment for me. It so rocked my world because I said, oh God, forgive me that I don't love your Scriptures like they do, to where they hunger for the Word of God. But all along, Journey Church invested in us. The next year, after Pastor Mike was there in 2010, Journey Church helped us put a clean water system in that area called Musujani, Botswana, where we were planting that church. And we got great favor with the chieftain. But all along, we were praying that God would open up a door for the gospel into Zimbabwe. The year after, you guys put a clean water system. In 2011, we got in. And show that next picture, if you would. Wow. Not that one. Show the one in Pastor Mike. That didn't mean... There you go. This is Lori. How many of you would you agree that Mike married over his head? Amen? This is Lori at Sinyati Hospital. Sinyati Baptist Hospital in Zimbabwe when she was a sophomore in college. She made a choice. to make an investment of her life. And it was probably Lori's passion and her heart for Africa to help get in touch with us. And so now, as we go into Zimbabwe, God opened up the door. We're helping to plant churches in the city dump of Bulawayo. You wouldn't believe just what we were singing today. What the world calls trash, our Lord calls treasure. And man, in the midst of a garbage dump, God has raised a church, a school, and now we hope to put in a clean water system. But also about 25 kilometers from Victoria Falls, one of the eight great wonders of the world, you guys continually invest in us. We were able to do the first ever medical clinic in this road that leads down to 120 villages in the Zambezi River Valley. And with little more than Tylenol and ibuprofen, we had the first medical clinic just last month. Met 167 people who came out and shared the gospel with each and every one. So no matter what we do, it's always a platform for the gospel of Jesus Christ. We don't want to be just like the fork and knife clubs, and I'm not trying to criticize them, but we want people to know why we do what we do. It's so that we can share with them the greatest story that's ever been told, that Jesus Christ has come and died, was buried, rose again, hallelujah, and there is hope in Christ alone. There's no other way. There's no other name. There's no one ever anything like Jesus. No one. Man, we've been singing. It's so good. Well, anyway, let's get back to the message. If you have your Bible turned, I tell you, I think I may have a spell this morning. It'd be all right, won't it? I mean, the way you folks sung and jumped and whatever, don't sit out there and go to sleep on me. I'll come out there among you, okay? So just bump your neighbor and say, wake up. This redneck's fixing to turn it loose. All right? Now, if you have your Bible open to Isaiah 6, would you stand in honor of the reading of God's Word? It's not in honor of me. It's not in honor of any man. It's in honor of Him. It's honoring the Word of God. We want to honor Him today. Man, that's what's been happening all day long. This is so cool. Isaiah had a God moment. He was the prophet. If anybody was supposed to know and do the will of God, Isaiah was supposed to know and do the will of God. But notice this. He goes in the temple, and this time it's different. He said, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up. And the train of His robe filled the temple. Above Him stood the seraphim, and each had six wings. And with two He covered His face, and with two He covered His feet, and with two He flew. And one called to another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. Wow, what a time. The whole earth is full of His glory. And the foundations of the threshold shook at the voice of Him who called, and the house was filled with smoke. And I said, woe is me. For I'm lost. I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then one of the seraphim flew to me, and having in his hand a burning coal that he had taken with tongs from the altar, and he touched my mouth and said, now get this, behold, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away, and your sin is atoned for. Wow, who can do that? Only Jesus Christ. And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then I said, here am I, send me. Bow for a word of prayer. Father, may the words of my mouth, meditation of my heart, be acceptable in Your sight. O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. As we consider investment of your lifetime, let's notice this God moment in Isaiah's life. First thing I want you to notice is, he said, I saw. I saw the Lord high and lifted up and sitting upon the throne. The word for Lord here is Adonai. Adonai means controller. It means sovereign or all-powerful. It means the one who commands all authority. Now, I don't get you cranked. Man, we've been singing, there's no other that's anything like Jesus. And that's what people don't like today. They don't like that we who claim to be followers of Christ is, they don't like that we're narrow-minded bigots. They say because we're not all-inclusive and we won't say that anyone that believes whatever they want to believe, that they can find their way to God. No, there is only one way. There's only one name under heaven where you can be saved, and it is the name of Jesus. And the Bible says that every knee will bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. He's the controller over all. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He's the beginning and the end. The wildest thing about this, what Isaiah saw at this moment was, this is Old Testament. But yet this is Jesus sitting on the throne. It testifies to the eternal nature of God. He was there in the beginning. And He'll be there at the end. And if you've placed your faith and trust in Him, guess what? We're walking in victory today because of Jesus Christ. It's not what we did, it's what He did. And you know what? You may not like that and you may want an all-inclusive message. I'm sorry. Call me whatever you want to, but there's only one way. And you may say you're narrow-minded. Well, guess what? It's a narrow way. And Jesus said, few there will be that find it. I hope you found it. Now notice this unforgettable moment He has with the Lord, this Adonai. He remembers the intricate details of everything that's going on. He said, I saw the Lord high and lifted up, seated on the throne. And He said, above Him flew these seraphim. You know what a seraphim is? It's an angelic being. You ever seen something with six wings? I've never seen anything like that. These things had six wings. It says with two wings, they covered their face. With two wings, they covered their feet. And with two wings, they flew. The word seraphim literally means to burn brightly. It is a picture of polished brass. And their very being means to burn brightly. But yet, in the presence of the holiness and the awesomeness of God, they had to cover their face. They said, I can't look! Because His glory is so awesome. And then with two, they covered their feet, which means humility, which means in the presence of God, there's no room for anybody to brag and say, aren't God, isn't God lucky to have me? No, we are blessed to have the privilege to come to Jesus. That's one of my favorite things about Jesus is He's so approachable, man. I can't talk to the governor. I can't just call and get an appointment, but I can get right in the throne room to talk to Jesus. Isn't that wild? The King of Kings will invite me in anytime, any day, any night, no matter what. He's as close as the mention of His name. Oh, I feel it. I feel a preach coming on. I'm sorry. My wife says, shut up and get to preaching. Above Him stood the seraphims. One cried out to another, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The Lord of hosts is the word Jehovah. Jehovah is the national name for the Jewish nation. It's what they called God the Lord. But we know that He's more than just a national God. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. And He's worthy of all praise and honor and glory. And these seraphims, all they could do was hover over the altar of God, over the throne room, and they could just say, holy, holy, holy. And the Bible says this incredible moment that Isaiah went through. It says that basically as they spoke to each other, they were moving around the smoke of the glory of God, and all of a sudden the building started to shake. Man, that's a preacher's dream, is to see when God shakes things up. Oh, I wonder if He's ever shook your life up. Man, He rocks my world all the time. He said, I wonder, has there ever been one of those unforgettable moments? One of those seasons in life. Now, you may not be able to know the date and the time, but you remember what Isaiah said? He said, in the year that King Uzziah died. King Uzziah was Isaiah's hero. Some scholars believe that Uzziah was Isaiah's uncle. So he was part of the royal family. Can you get that? So he was used to being around royalty, and he loved his uncle. But imagine this. He compares it at the year when my personal hero went down, I saw the Lord high and lifted up. All kings and kingdoms will all pass away, but there's something about that name. Secondly, not only did I saw, but his response was, I said. He said, I said, woe is me. Oh, ever been in a service like this and maybe you elbow your wife or your husband? Most of the time it's the wife elbowing the husband, at least it is in my case. And we're thinking in the midst of a service like this, I wish old brother so-and-so would have been here. He really needed to hear that. I wish old sister so-and-so would have been here. She really needed to hear that. Guess what? You know who God's talking to today? The feller sitting in your seat. The gal sitting in your seat. And oh, let's not forget, the feller standing before you. That's whose attention He wants. He wants us to stop worrying about anyone and everyone else. You get enamored with the holiness and the wonder of who He is. And I promise you, you get a belly full of it, you'll spill out on everybody around you. And they'll start looking at you kind of like the way y'all looking at me right now. It's like, is He fixing to come off that stage and come down here amongst us? I might. I said, woe is me, I'm a man of unclean lips. Wow, can you imagine that? The preacher, the pastor, the prophet. He said, oh man, it's me standing in the need of prayer. It's me. Woe is me. It means lamentation. It means brokenness. It means in light of His holiness, I'm done. It's over with. The Bible says we're dead in our trespasses and sins. But God in His mercy, God in His grace, God in His wonder, God in His marvelous, He took my place when He died on the cross for me. Oh, hallelujah. Look at this. He said, I said, He began to confess His sins. He says, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. And He took, one of the seraphims took from the coals of the altar and touched His lips. And He says, oh, He's touched my mouth. And not only that, now get this, this blows my mind. He says, your guilt is taken away and your sin is atoned for. Oh, glory. That's good news. Amen. Oh, come on, man. Y'all can do better than that. It's for Him. It's not for me. Can you? I'm dead in my trespasses and sins. And all of a sudden, when I accept Jesus Christ, He places in me, to my account, the righteousness of Christ in me. So when God the Father looks at me, He no longer sees my sin. He sees the righteousness of His Son in me. Oh, that may not rock your world, but that gets me happy. He's a good God. He's great. Now, I got to tell you, I was raised in a Christian home. I knew about Jesus all my life. I walked the aisle at the age of 10, went through the baptismal waters. And if you'd have asked me, you believe Jesus died on the cross for your sins? I said, yes. If you'd have asked me, do you believe the Bible is true? I'd have said, yes. But if I'd have died between 10 and 28, I'd have went to hell. You know why? The Bible said the devil believes, and he's even afraid. But that don't mean he's a believer, and that don't mean he's a follower of Christ. But guess what? The devil's sure. There's coming a day where every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. Old Satan himself's going to have to bow a knee and say, Jesus Christ is Lord. Oh, my soul. Tuesday night, August 24th, 1987, about 8:30, the gospel changed for me. It moved about 17 inches. It moved from my head. See, intellectually, I gave a nod. And I said, yes, I believe that. But there's something different between an intellectual assent and an experience with Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. On this Tuesday night, sitting about two rows back, God spoke to me and He says, you don't know me. You know about me, but you don't know me. I thought I was going to have a heart attack, but I don't believe you can have one in the throat. Later on, I would learn from reading the Bible that's called conviction of the Holy Ghost. That means where God convinces you of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment to come. I'm telling you, I don't know how. All I remember is taking the first step. Next thing I know, I'm down here. The same fellow that invited me to come to church was down there receiving folks. And I said, man, I need to get saved. He said, man, if anybody was saved, I thought you were. I said, uh-uh. I know about him. You know, Satan's speaking in this area. He said, if you get right with God, people are going to laugh at you, make fun of you. You know what? I said, I don't care. All I know is I need Jesus. And I'm going to do what it takes to get right with Him. You see, Isaiah said, woe is me. He said, I don't mind if I got to get out of character. I don't mind if I got to be a little unrefined in front of the brethren or the sistren, whatever you want to call y'all. But all I wanted to do that night, that Tuesday night, is I didn't care what it took. All I know is I wanted to get right with God. And I didn't care what it cost. Now, I had some folks hunt me down, the Coldwater Committee, we call them. They hunted me down. They said, well, you'll get over it. I think it's gotten worse. 87 to, is that 30 years ago? No mathematicians in the room, huh? 31. Hallelujah. Bingo, you get the prize. I said, and notice this. I don't believe this accent. He said, and then I heard. I don't believe it's an accident in the way that this happened. He said, first I saw him high and lifted up. And then I responded, and he did what only he can do for me. My sin were forgiven. My guilt was taken away. And he said, then I heard the Lord say, who will go for us? Whom will we send? Isaiah said, here am I. Send me. Did you notice something strange about that? Most of us want to talk to God and say, God, what is your will for me? God's not really interested in what He wants to know is just let you know this is His will. You can either get in or not. He gives you a choice. You're not a bunch of robots. You've got a choice in the matter. I had a couple of guys teach me how to pray, and I mean, most of us, we pray like talking on the telephone, and they said, we don't want you to pray that way, you know, where you just kind of tell God what you want. God, I don't like my boss. I wish you'd kill him, take him off the earth. And you know, Pastor, you need to straighten him out. And Lord, you know, we need to get the brakes fixed in the car. Silly, stupid stuff we're focused on. But yet when you see the Lord high and lifted up, and then you understand that your guilt has been taken away and your sin is atoned for, all of a sudden you begin to hear His voice. Now I know those folks on The View, they think that some of us who really believe we hear Jesus talking back, that we're kind of weird and kooky. I'm one of those. Jesus said, my sheep know my voice, and when I call them, they'll come. I want to tell you something. These guys said, listen, this is what we want you to do. We want you to get in your prayer closet. Well, I looked at my house. It was not designed with what was called a prayer closet. But I knew that my wife had a closet, and it had a bunch of clothes of hers in there, and a few of mine, and a bunch of shoes all around. Not my shoes, hers. She loves them things. Ladies, you can relate. Sorry, babe. I know. I started going in the closet. You won't believe this. I started going in the closet, shutting the door, light off, got on my knees, and just to listen for the voice of God. 1 week, didn't hear nothing. I went back to these guys, said, "How long I got to do this, man?" 2 weeks. They said, "We don't know. All we know is if you continue to put yourself in a place to hear from God, you will hear His voice, you'll know who's talking, and you'll know what He's saying." It wasn't the third week. I think it was a part of maybe in the fourth week. I'm not sure. The end of the third, first of the fourth week. One word. Preach. I said, "Lord, You meant reach. You meant teach. Anything but preach, Lord." I wrestled with that for over a year. I carried around a note in my pocket. You know what dog-eared means? I had folded and unfolded this note. It said on there, "God, if You're calling me to preach, this is what I want You to have my daddy say to me. Kid, God is calling you to preach." Every time I'd get around my daddy, I'd say, "Daddy, God's doing something in my life." He said, "How's your job?" I said, "It's going good." He said, "Hang in there, man. If there's anything you can do but preach, do it." Didn't encourage me. But when I got honest before God, He laid two things on my heart. Obedience and talents. He said, "You know the gift I'm giving you. If you don't obey Me, I'll take it away and I'll give it to somebody else." Read the parable of the talents. It's consistent with the Word. You bury that gift, He'll take it away. Give it to somebody else. God's going to get it done. You can be a part of it. You can invest your life or you can waste it. It's up to you. But here was my deal. On the morning I surrendered, I said, "Okay, God, I'll do it." On the morning I said, "Okay, I'll do it." I cut a deal with God. You ever done this? Not real spiritual, but this is just being transparent. I said, "Okay, God, I'll preach. But whatever You do, don't send me to Africa." Africa. Why do we say stuff like that? Don't we understand God's got a sense of humor? To where in one of those moments, I just got this picture in my sanctified imagination and God just said, "Tell one of the angels, they're right down to Africa for Ken." It's in those moments where we say, "God, I'll do this, but I ain't going to do that." Where when you confess Him as Lord, that means you don't say "no, Lord" in the same sentence. Either He's Lord and it's all yes. You put your yes on the table and let Him figure it out. But then I got an invitation to go to Uganda, Africa in 94. And I told that guy, I said, "Listen, what all good Christians would say," I said, "let me pray about it," which let me translate that. What that means in my language is, "Get away from me, man. I don't want to talk about that." But now, I resigned. I was former pastor, resigned the church in 06. Started Called Africa. You guys have been investing in us ever since. And I just want to say thank you. Today, there's three kinds of people here. There's those who may be like me. You may intellectually have said, "Okay, yeah, I believe Jesus is the only way. And I believe Jesus died on the cross for my sins. I believe the Bible is true." But you've never had an experience. And the Holy Spirit's speaking to you today. Because I really believe there's really only two people that really know if you're born again. That's you and God. But right now, the amazing thing about His Word is when His Word goes out, Holy Spirit just kind of opens us up. And so if there's any doubt, today is the day of salvation and now is the appointed time. That's one kind of people here today. Second kind is, you know for sure you're born again. For a while you followed Christ wholeheartedly, but something happened and maybe you got disappointed, maybe you got disillusioned, but no longer is the central focus of your life about Him. It's about you. And so you're living what's known as a carnal Christian life. Yeah, you're going to go to heaven, but you're just basically waiting around here, killing time to die, to go be with the Lord. He can speed that up for you. He can move that forward. He can. Read 1 John. He said, "There's a sin unto death for the Christian." God won't be mocked. He won't be mocked. There's a third kind of person here today. You said, "Lord, here am I, send me." Don't put any restrictions on it. Put your yes on the table. Would you bow your heads? Let's pray. Father, Your Word tells us today if we hear Your voice, don't harden our hearts. Whether it's for salvation, whether it's for just a fresh commitment of our life to You, or whether it's just to affirm, Lord, wherever, whenever, however, my yes is on the table. We praise You for Your goodness and Your awesomeness. In Jesus' name, amen.